Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 153. That's right, 153. Total Con 2016. So if you are a new, all of you, to this episode of Wargaming Recon, as the title suggests, this is the Total Con episode, and this is Total Con's 30th year. So, yay, Total Con. Woo! Happy birthday, or anniversary, as the case may be. As you might also guess, I am doing something that I've gotten in the habit of. I'm recording this live at Total Con. Whereas some other conventions, I record live as like a live event for an audience. At Total Con, I record it live, but I record it from my hotel room. So that makes it a little different. I get a little more quiet. TotalCon is very loud and noisy, and it's not really any designated space for me to do a podcast in the way that I do it. So doing it in front of a live audience here doesn't necessarily work out so much. So I do it in the hotel room, which is kind of cool. I'm able to sit in my comfy chair and get things going. This episode, as I said, is devoted to TotalCon. I'm going to talk about still that I haven't been able to do yet. And the reason is I recorded this on the Saturday during TotalCon. Still set the rest of Saturday to go and Sunday. So there are other things that are going on at TotalCon, which are definitely of interest and things that I know that I would like to pop into, but won't necessarily make it into the show because I can't tell you about things that haven't happened yet. I can say, hey, this is going to happen, but I can't say, so, you know, I did this and I did this and I did this. Before I get any further though, you're probably not going to be able to keep up with all of the stuff I'm going to mention because I'm going to talk about a lot of things. I know a lot of you like to listen while you're driving to and from work or you're at the gym or painting models. I get that. And you're not sitting at a computer saying, oh, wait, Jonathan's going to talk about this. Let me go here and look up this and type in that web address. Nobody listens to podcasts that way. It doesn't happen. So what I do is I make everything really easy for you. You don't have to remember everything I talk about. Just remember this one thing. That's right. This one thing. The link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR153. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR153. That'll take you directly to the show notes where we have links and all sorts of cool things that I will be covering in the episode. So you don't have to remember that I talked about games such and such or that this manufacturer is from here or whatever. No, you go to the show notes and that makes it super easy because everything is right there for you and you're able to get all of that at your leisure when you can sit down on a computer or on your smartphone or your tablet or anything like that. And you can just, you do it then. So get some time and you do it. You don't have to worry about like, I'm driving to work or I'm painting models. I can't stop and look up this or remember that or write this down. Don't worry. Show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR153. I've talked about TotalCon a lot over the years, but I understand that there's always new people listening to a show. So if you are new to hearing about TotalCon, let me just give you a brief description of what TotalCon is before I dive into some of the stuff that's happened at TotalCon. So TotalCon, or Total Confusion really is the full name, is a tabletop gaming convention in New England. It happens in Mansfield, Massachusetts at the Holiday Inn. This is their 30th year running. They bill themselves as the largest tabletop gaming convention in New England. And by that, what I think they mean is that they are the largest tabletop gaming convention that's focused on tabletop gaming. There's a lot of other conventions like PAX and so forth that are larger, right? And they have tabletop gaming, but they're really not just about that. They do all sorts of other stuff. TotalCon has, on average, 1,000 people who come per day on Friday and Saturday. 1,000 attendees who come through the doors, play games. Of the tabletop games, I'm going to say that most of the stuff that you will find here that you will play will be role-playing games, old-school role-playing games, and board games. They have a smaller mini section they in the past have had video games, and they've also done other types of games as well. They do some panels. They don't have any sort of really formalized cosplay or anything like that. It's not a geek convention in that sense, although a lot of people come are geeks. But people come, they play the games, and you can get into all sorts of stuff. It's very, very cool, very laid back, a great bunch of people. There's a lot of really cool industry guests who come. I would say the big ones, though, for most people will be now three people as of this year. They'll be Tim Kask and Frank Mentzer, both of whom worked with Gary Gygax in different roles. So they're way back in the early days of Dungeons & Dragons and Dragon Magazine and that sort of stuff. And then Mike Pondsmith, who is another role-playing game designer. He's, I believe, the head honcho of Artel Saurian Games, Artel, and they are most known for their cyberpunk role-playing games, kind of inspired by things like Blade Runner and that sort of stuff. And they do a mecha anime sort of one called Mechton Zero. And now they're actually going to be coming out with a role-playing game, pen and paper role-playing game, I should say, based on the hit video game series Witcher. So those are the top three guests, I'm going to say. And I hate to rate people, really, but they're the ones who I think most people come for. There's a lot of really, really good industry guests. So many that I can't list them all, and I'm not going to try, but there's a lot of them. And just about anything that you are interested in, you can find here. As I said, it is very strongly focused and geared towards role-playing games, old-school role-playing games, and board games. They have a lot of tourneys for things like Agricola and Settlers of Catan and that sort of stuff. You can get into nationals and things from here, and there's qualifiers and all that, but that's what the focus, I'm going to say, is really on. As you will probably know from listening to the show, if you are a long-time listener, and if you're first time, I'm not really a role player. So in that sense, this kind of convention seems like an odd fit for me. Why would I come here as a guy who's not going to be playing in a lot of RPGs, probably not even playing a lot of board games? I come for different reasons, mostly for the networking, because a lot of the industry guests here I've gotten to know over the years. And as such, I've been able to network with them, and they've come on Wargaming Recon to talk about other projects that they're working on and other aspects of the gaming tabletop hobby. And also the industry, besides the industry guests, I've had people from the TotalCon company, the group themselves, the people who put on the convention, to come and talk just about the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff of con preparation and life and all that. There's a lot of conventions out there, right? And they're all different in their own ways, but they have a lot of things that are in common. So that kind of brings in some of the things that would be pertinent. Although you may not get to TotalCon, you're probably going to go to another convention or a trade show, depending on where you are in the world. And so these other tidbits will be of use to you. So that's really why I come to TotalCon, for that kind of stuff, so I can get those networking opportunities. I play games and I go to events too, and I also use it as a way to kind of go outside the box. So I'm not just focused on historicals, I'm not just focused on wargaming. I'm able to kind of dip my toes into other things. So this year at TotalCon, I did something completely different than what I would normally do. I didn't sign up for much of anything. And in the past, I would try to book myself into a lot of things. I realized I was overbooking myself. That's not so good, right? No one wants to just be going nonstop and thinking, oh wait, I didn't have time to eat. I didn't have time to sleep. I gotta brush my teeth and take a shower and all this kind of stuff. So this year I decided I was gonna try to scale things back, and I reprioritized a couple things. I wanted to make sure that I played in at least one game of something. And I also wanted to make it possible so that my wife and my daughter could come for a visit. People here who I've gotten to know over the years have been able to kind of see my daughter grow, and they've heard me talk about my wife, and they've been able to stay in touch with all of us through social media, but they wanted to meet them in person. So that was something that I wanted to make happen, and I was glad that I was able to, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. So as such, I had and still have large swaths of time where nothing happens, nothing scheduled, I should say. And I've used that to, you know, walk around, just catch the atmosphere, take some photos, see what's going on, observe other people, spend more time networking, actually. And I've spent a lot of time in my hotel room, which might seem really weird, right? Going to a convention, spending time in the hotel room. But I've used that for things like prepping for this episode, recording this episode, recapping what had happened, and just kind of catching up on things. it's nice to have the downtime. It's nice to get in touch with other people. For actual things that have happened, events and so forth, on Friday, I got to play in a small board game. It's called Tiny Epic Galaxies. Ben Gerber ran it. He's the head honcho here at the 12 in the Corner. He's an industry guest of honor and so forth. And this is a game that he has. It's not one he's made, but he has. And so he got to play it. He ran it and played in it as well for me and a buddy of his, John, comes up from further down in the mid-Atlantic states. So it was really nice to see his friend John. I've seen him before, but, you know, to get to know him a little bit better. This is a really cool game. I think he said it retails for about $20, maybe $25. And the way he put it was, it's a $20, $25 game that's worth like $50. And I agree with him. There's a lot of replay value here. Everyone has a different color planet that you start with. And your planet is like a 3x5 post note card kind of size. Maybe a little bit bigger, 5x7 perhaps. And it's full color, glossy, looks beautiful. There's a deck of cards in there that have secret missions on them. Everyone gets one secret mission. You get two cards. You pick which one you want and you keep it in. It's a secret. You don't tell anyone, but it gives you an objective for the game. And then there's another deck of cards in it that are planets. So you pull them up and every planet's a little bit different in addition to your own. These other planets are a little smaller. You have certain values that you have to track. Culture, energy, and then you can upgrade your civilization. So there's a track for that. There's a track for how many spaceships you have. You use spaceships to travel to other planets, try to colonize them, try to get resources and so forth. And the winner is the first person who gets to 21 points. As soon as you get to 21 victory points, you win automatically. So we played. It didn't take very long. It was a lot of fun. Different. I could see a bunch of different strategies involved with it. Ben is someone who's just heavily into this type of small board and card games. Things that a lot of people might call like filler that you play, say when you're at a Gen Con or Historicon, or you're at a Salute and you're waiting in line and you know you're going to be waiting in line for 20, 30 minutes. You want to kill some time, so you pull out something small, you set on the floor, you play it, and you're done. I know half a dozen years ago, a game like that was Zombie Dice. That was very popular at Gen Con because you could play it while you're waiting in line. So he's into these kind of games, and I like them too because they have cheaper price points, and regardless of what kind of fiscal situation you're in, you probably can afford one of these. You're going to get a lot of bang for your buck, great replay value, a lot of fun, in-depth, interesting. And you can pack a lot of them so that if you're going to a game day, you're going to a friend's house, you're going to a con, you can put them in your bag and they don't take up a lot of room. So that's really cool. So I got to play Tiny Epic Galaxies. I liked it a lot. I looked for it in the vendor room here. I couldn't find it, but if I did, I was going to grab a copy. Then at 7 o'clock, I played in Convoy to Malta, which is a War at Sea scenario that's run by Dan Eustace. He's run War at Sea games just about every year here at Total Con, going back 3-4 years. So that's, 2013, 2014 forward? They're always really good. He takes the base War at Sea game, which is the one by Wizards of the Coast with the collectible miniatures. They're pre-painted. It's a fun beer and pretzel game. I have a lot of stuff for it. I like it. I like it a lot. But he adds an extra depth to it. So he's used things that he's created and stuff that he's found online so that you have extra ships and special cards for them. The cards have statistics on them, but it's very simplified. There's speed, how many squares can you move, or hexes as the case might be. What types of weaponry do you have? Do you have main guns, secondary guns, tertiary guns? Do you have torpedoes? Do you have depth charges? And how many squares away can you use them, and how many dice do you roll for that? It has an armor value, a vital armor value, and a health points, how many basically life points does it have. And then it might have zoom with aircraft maybe, and off you go. This particular game was when the Allies were trying to resupply the island of Malta in the Mediterranean during World War II. The Axis, its combined German and Italian naval fleet, is trying to stop them. It was a lot of fun. Dan does a really good job with the events. A downside to his events, because it's so involved, there's a lot to keep track of. And when you have as many people playing in his events as he does, and there were 5 people on the Allied side and 3 on the Axis, that's a lot of people playing. So it makes the game take a lot longer than one might think it would. This was set up to fill 4 hours, and at the end of the 4 hours, it was still going. I had a scoot because I had another thing going on after it, but I think they kind of wrapped up early in like an extra 20 minutes, half an hour after that. They probably really honestly could have used another hour or two, which would have made it 6 hours, just because it takes a while for everything. We have all those people. That's a downside, actually, of having something so large. I think when people are planning to run a game at a convention, you're going to be the GM and you want to run something that's really intricate or is large. I think either you need to find a way to speed it up. You need to overestimate how long it's going to take. If you think it's going to be a 2 hour game, try to book it for 4 hours just in case. Or I think you need to have a team of people supporting you in it who are kind of acting like as co-GMs or, you know, some sort of assistants. I don't mean that in a negative way, but just people to kind of help keep it going, answer questions, so it doesn't all fall on you. I've run games not as large as this, but, you know, would say 6 or 7 people on it, and done it with my buddies Adrian and Court, and even then found that still cannot be enough, even with everyone kind of broken out and just all the talking, yet horse after it. It wears you out, and it's hard on everyone, but it's a lot of fun, and this WRC game was a blast. We made some errors, I think, in hindsight. One of the special things that we could do, I was on the Axis side, was we had 10 mine tokens representing mines. Half of them were fake and half of them were real. The Allies didn't know which was which. We used them on one whole left side of the table to try to funnel the Allied ships in towards Malta in between our two forces, which were split on our right and left side of the board. And at the time when we were doing it, we thought, you know, this makes sense because this way we'll put them in and we can do a pincer movement and we'll really be able to hammer them. One of our advantages also besides this was that we had a lot of aircraft, but the aircraft were based in Italy, so they could only come out every third turn, or they stayed there, you know. The Allies had aircraft carriers, planes on those could come out every turn. They had planes based on Malta, they could come out every other turn, but they didn't have as many. And the Allies also outnumbered us in ships, not just with convoy ships, with transports and tankers and things like that, but with destroyers and battleships and cruisers, just a lot of firepower coming at us. It was an uphill battle. And at the time, we probably should have known, but we didn't, that it's a bad, 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 bad idea to allow your enemy to split your forces in half. Especially when one half of your forces is a little bit stronger, not terribly so, but a little bit stronger than the other half. So that caused a lot of problems. And then we had some bad turns where we weren't able to do as well with our air power as we would have liked. So that caused other problems. And ended up being, I found out, a loss for the Axis, which I wasn't completely surprised about. Maybe slightly different if we had done a few things a little bit differently. But I don't want to make it sound like we just messed up everything and that was the game. We did some good stuff. The first turn, we killed all the aircraft carriers. We sunk them all. And we sunk a lot of stuff. Just, there was a lot of them too. So that makes it hard. And another interesting thing about this game was it really helped me to realize that I can't do stuff late at night anymore. Once upon a time, I would, you know, I'd sign up for a game at 7 and game until 11, and then I would keep on doing stuff after that. I'd have other games and other events and go and go and go and be in bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning and then ready to go and up and out of it like 8 or 9. It doesn't happen anymore. They say having a kid changes it, and it does. I just didn't expect that it would change me from being a night owl. So it was 9, maybe 10. Let's say 9:30 at night. Playing Convoy to Malta, and like I'm nodding off at the table, and that's awful. And I'm just like, I'm so sleepy, I need to do stuff, but so sleepy. I felt bad because I didn't want people to think I was uninterested in the game. I was totally in. It's just, I don't know, I'm old or something now, and it was hard. So I had other stuff going on after the game, which is why I had to leave. And then next thing you know, I'm like, bed looks comfy, and I'm in bed after midnight, and there we go. And then, of course, up at like 6 o'clock, because although I'm here by myself, my body said, you should be up at 6, because that's when the baby likes to get up. So you should be up so you can get ready to go and help. Well, baby's not here, and I could use extra sleep. Didn't work that way. Needless to say, still tired. But I've learned my lesson, I think. I hope, right? And next time, don't anticipate doing any events so late at night, which is hard because for me, a lot of the really fun stuff that happens at this convention in particular happens later at night. There's a GM social on Friday nights. That's at 11. They have like snacks, like food and beverages, and you can meet people. There's after parties and late night gaming and all that kind of stuff. And oh man, I tell you, it's just, I can't, just like talking about it makes me think, oh man, That sounds so tiring, but it's so fun, right? So let's move forward to today's Saturday. I started the day off with some breakfast. I got together with a friend I haven't seen in a long, long time because he got married, has two kids. They're older than my daughter now. They're like in, you know, he's finally been able to get back into gaming and it's his first time at TotalCon. So we met up and had some breakfast. It was really, really good and fun to see him. And then I went to a panel. It was called Writing for Role-Playing Games. It had industry guests Michael Curtis, Jeffrey Talanian, and Mike Pondsmith. I mentioned Mike Pondsmith already. Jeff Talanian is interesting because he worked with Gary Gygax on what is called the Castle Zagig series of D&D stuff. And he actually had a funny quote. And let me see if I can just remember off the top of my head. I live blogged the panel on there. I had a link on our Facebook page where I talked about stuff. And just kind of covered all of the things that I picked up on that they had said. But his quote about Castle Zagig is this, and it made me laugh. And I'm not an RPG-er really, but it still gave me a chuckle. Castle Zagig is basically Castle Greyhawk with the serial numbers filed up. So it's just like, we're going to redo, but it's different. So he had an interesting kind of story about how he got involved on the later years of Gary Gygax and working on D&D and him. His process of writing for role-playing games. Michael Curtis had some really interesting things to say about breaking into writing for a role-playing game. And Mike Pondsmith was interesting too because he kind of switched not just on the pen and paper ones, but towards like video game kind of stuff and computer game ones and where you go. So they had a lot of interesting advice that, I mean, I'm not going to go write for a role-playing game, but I'm always interested in how people's craft is done and their process, regardless of what the thing is that you do, whether you're a podcaster, you're someone who writes for games, or you write fiction, or you're an artist, or whatever, just how you do that is really cool to me. So I'm always up for learning from people who know more than I do and trying to better myself. This was a cool panel to do. There was a lot of people in it, actually. Panels here, I think, are always interesting, but the audience can be hit or miss. And I think part of that is that people come here because of the gaming. They're not coming for the panel so much. So there were, I think, half a dozen people in the audience, which was great. It was very interesting what was said and laughed and just really good insights for stuff. One thing that really struck with me was that, and this, I think, was advice that came from Mike Curtis. He said that if you, he's talking about, of course, writing for a game, role-playing game, but I think you can really extrapolate this and use this for almost anything you want to do in life. He says, build on a plot line or a theme that you're passionate about because you have this passion about this topic or plot line. If you're not passionate about what you made as much effort in as you thought, maybe that fire isn't going to be there. The excitement and fun, people can tell. So I that was a real takeaway for me and one that keeps getting hammered in no matter who I talk to, no matter what they do. It's just something that they keep on mentioning. I mentioned earlier in the show that my wife and daughter came, so their first time coming to this, so they came for a few hours in the afternoon, and they got to meet a bunch of people, which was a lot of fun. And we went in the vendor room, and this is stall in there, this vendor where I've gone in the past, actually, to get stuff for my wife. They sell T-shirts and Doctor Who things and just that sort of stuff. They call the Dragon's Lair. They're great. They have all sorts of really interesting things, not games, you know, per se. But just kind of attire and plushies and that sort of stuff. So we were walking around the room and holding my daughter. And she's looking off in the corner. We couldn't figure out what she was looking at. So then one of the people working the booth, it was a large booth, very large booth, went over and they had this wall of plushies. And she's trying to figure out what my daughter was looking at. So she's holding up different ones and trying to see what she would like. There's these little round ones that are like balls. You know, the perfect size, about the size of a person's head maybe. Or a baby's head. But the perfect size for a baby to just grab onto and infinite grab and hold and snuggle and love. So she's pulling ones out and she's looking. My daughter has this Curious George stuffed animal that she loves. One of the industry guests here, Jay Libby, and his wife Renee gave it when my daughter was born. And my daughter can't be separated from Curious George. She just loves him. No matter where she is, he has to be there. And she's not able to say monkey yet or George. She says something. She says like, mama, uh-oh, meow, things like that. But when she wants George, her Curious George, she'll always say something that sounds like, my. And we think she's trying to say either like mon, M-O-N for like monkey, or mine, like mine, it's mine, my monkey. So she's clutching this Curious George and she's like, oh, loving it to death. And I don't know about you. I'm an introvert, right? A lot of people at a convention, it's overwhelming for me and I need downtime to just kind of recoup and everything. For a baby, it has to just be like, what the heck is happening? Who are all these people? What are all these sounds and smells and noises and colors and everything? It's just, it's too much. I would clutch a Curious George too. That was my thing. So she's clutching George and she's like, I can't give him up because she's like, he's her thing. He's helping her get through everything. And this person, this woman who's working at the Dragon's Lair, she's pulling out these plushies and being just so nice. And she's like, so what, she likes animals. What animal does she have? And she realizes it's a monkey. She's going through all of these plushies, these round plushies. She finds this monkey plushie. My daughter's eyes light up and she's reaching out. She didn't reach toward anyone or anything. And for the entire time they were here, because I mean, it's a lot overwhelming. She's reaching out for this plushie and she's going, mine, mine, mine. And it's cute. And I'm like, well, I don't think it's yours yet because we didn't pay for it. And we'll see how much it's going to cost, whether daddy's going to buy it or not. And the salesperson was so nice with her and let her hold it. And she said, why don't you try him first and see what you'd like? And so my daughter's grabbing him and cuddling him. And then she puts it back because she's not sure she should be grabbing because it's not hers. And she's like, no. And she grabs and cuddles. And so I said, okay, we're going to take the monkey plushie. And so we gave it and we did some more shopping over there. And the owner was really nice. He rang it up, but he knew we were still doing some shopping. My wife was looking at t-shirts and things. And he cut the tags off and gave the plushie to my daughter. I mean, we were going to buy it in like 2 minutes anyway, but he gave it to her so she could cuddle. And he saw it and he said, let me cut the tags off. I'm always afraid that kids and babies are going to choke or hurt themselves on it. So he's cutting it and doing this. And they've just been so friendly and caring and thoughtful. And this is not a convention where you're going to see babies. It's just, it's not a thing. There's not anything really for infants to do and for toddlers to do. It's a family-friendly convention. Don't get me wrong. It is. They don't allow alcohol on the gaming floor. There's young player events, and you get special badges for young players. They have all sorts of stuff geared towards them, not geared towards infants. So you don't see very many of them. Sometimes gamers will bring their kids who are infants and toddlers, but again, not intended towards them. So to see that these people at the Dragon's Lair just reacted so positively toward my daughter and how they were. I like the Dragon's Lair from before just because I think they're nice people. They have good product and I've loved the customer service from before, but how they reacted with my daughter just really cemented it for me. It was so nice and they were so friendly and helpful with us. And you know, this is something before she was born, I wouldn't have thought much about it. I would have been like, oh, look how nice they are with those people and that little baby. That's nice. And I would have moved on and been like, where should I find games that I want? And I'm going to go to. And now I'm just like, oh, they were so nice. And that made all the difference for me. That was a moment. That was where they turned a situation where they could be like, you can't have this yet. We're not going to let you can look at it. And if you want it, you buy it and then you can hug it and see what you think. But they went, I felt the extra mile. And that is something that you get a lot here at TotalCon. People consistently go that extra mile. They try to do what they can to make it better, to make it a situation where you're going to have so much fun that you're going to want to come back and that you will just feel that this is a place where you belong, where you can have a lot of fun playing a variety of games and having just wonderful experiences and that you can't wait for the next TotalCon to come so you can do it again and again and again. So that stuck with me. So those are the events that I've done and that I've gone to and things that have happened. I have coming up actually in a matter of minutes, I think, because this recording is going. It's going. There's a panel with Tim Kask, who I mentioned previously, riding the rocket the first 5 years at TSR, which I'm looking forward to. So that's happening. And then it winds down. I do kind of a traditional Sunday morning. I get together with some of the industry guests, Peter Bryant and Mike Cafes. And we just hang out. We have breakfast. They live down in the Mid-Atlantic outside of D.C. And we get together and just kind of chill and catch up. They're podcasters, so it's cool to hear what they do. Peter Bryant Blix has been on Wargaming Recon a few times in the past, and I've been on his shows, and so it's just kind of cool to do that. So that'll be on Sunday morning, and then I'll be heading home, and there's just all sorts of stuff going on at home, you know, to do and go back to reality, as it were. And then I think there's some other stuff going on tonight later on, maybe some special events and that kind of stuff. Now, despite all the good, this year there was a lot of problems with TotalCon, and so much so that for me, they all kind of started in the beginning, and I thought to myself, oh man, this is not good. And like, do I even want to stay? I was so displeased that I thought, should I just cancel the room and just go home, and take whatever they're going to charge and just stay the one night and say that's that and then go? And like, do I really want to? Because it's crap, but not the con's fault. So let me just mention what some of the problems are. All the problems are with the hotel itself. And these are problems that have not happened before. I can't stress that enough. Holiday Inn and Mansfield have loved and have touted it, the rooms and everything, just how wonderful it is. This year, there's some problems. And I think they're going to go away with time. I really do think that, you know, in 2017, in 2018, they're not going to be here. So it seems that the hotel is renovating. They promised the convention that the renovations would be done. I believe I'm correct on the date, but I might be wrong. They promised that they would be done no later than the beginning of February. So by January, they were supposed to be done. Renovations are not finished. They put guests in bed. Do you want a king bed, a queen? Do you want doubles or whatever? I booked for a very specific room because it's one of you had every other year. I like it. I'm used to it. It's great. And it's convenient to all the stuff that I like to do. It's convenient to the door so I can get all my stuff in easy and everything. But they put me in the wrong room. They put other people in the wrong room. They've shifted guests around, probably because of the renovation, partly because you can't get at some of the rooms, partly because they've had a history, I guess, of overbooking in the hopes that some people will cancel. And they've learned the hard way that doesn't happen. TotalCon, I'm told, is the largest contract or client, I guess you could say, that the hotel has for a convention here. TotalCon consistently sells out the hotel now. The hotel's learned that they shouldn't double book. I would be really mad if they had double booked on me. But like, sorry, you can't come. I'd be like, I booked in August. Used to be you could book in December or even January and get rooms there. You get a book like August now, September maybe, but August, July, if you want to get a room. The interior of some of the rooms are covered with plaster dust. It's on the bed. It's on the TV. It's on all sorts of other stuff. There's some problem with water in some of the rooms, some of the bathrooms. You might take a shower, it turns off randomly, or it only gives scaldingly hot water that comes out in spurts. So you're washing your hands out of the sink and it's at, you know, waist level and comes out and spurts you at your groin. It's not pleasant for anyone. Really, really hot. Not all the telephones are hooked up in all of the rooms. Some of the rooms have furniture that are just haphazardly tossed in. And all this, I think, is because of the renovations. I think they're just trying to get something in everywhere to get it done. I was surprised because, you know, this has impacted a variety of rooms. I'm lucky. The room I'm in, everything seems fine. Things are okay. I'm not going to gripe about being in the room. Well, I'll gripe a little bit, but I'm not going to be a jerk about that they put me in a different room. The room's basically clean and has all the stuff. It's fine. The bed's really comfortable. I love the bed. It's great. That's fine. But what does surprise me is that it seems to be just anecdotally that these problems are heavily hitting the suites and the rooms for the industry guests. If you are paying for a suite, and they go fast, there's not many of them, but if you're paying for a suite, that's expensive. Even with the con discount, expensive. Everything should be perfect, right? All the rooms should be perfect. Don't get me wrong. But you paying that extra, you should be taken care of. And the rooms for the industry guests, they're one of the major draws for the con and why a lot of people come. You need to get that right. You need to get the rooms right for the industry. Yes, you need to get the rooms right for the people here from the con who are doing stuff. You have to do that. And the hotel didn't. On top of it, the renovations caused a parking nightmare. I didn't come last year because of the birth of my daughter, but I heard horror stories. I mean, there was a lot of snow, don't get me wrong, but they didn't plow at all, and they were supposed to. This year, not an issue. No snow, weather's beautiful. But what is an issue is more than 60 parking spots are filled with construction debris and tractor trailers that are storing stuff. The parking lot is literally like an obstacle course because you want to avoid that debris. Otherwise, it's going to damage your car. And there's also that construction debris throughout some of the hallways inside of the hotel. It makes it dangerous to walk around. If you have limited mobility, and there's a lot of people do, there's a lot of older gamers here, people who have trouble walking, people who are on scooters, all sorts of different things. It's hard to avoid that. You can mess yourself up. You can mess out your equipment or your whatever you're using to get around. Inexcusable. There's no reason it should be that way. No reason at all. It's completely the hotel's fault. It's completely the hotel management company's fault. It's not the convention's fault at all. I don't blame TotalCon for any of this because they were as surprised by this as anyone. I'm told they come like the Monday before the con to get everything all set up And that's when they discover this, and that's when they put extra pressure on them and said, you know, this is our list of things. It has to be this, this, and this. And this is even after far, far in advance when they work on everything, so far in advance to get everything set up. And they were promised everything. The hotel still couldn't deliver. Inexcusable. Just, I don't know. It really angers me is what it is. I've been told also that the hotel changed management companies pretty recently. That's a common thing for hotels. You know, one company will own the hotel and it'll have the same name. You might not know it's any different. And then 6 months later, another company buys it and another company buys it, so forth. There's been some problems with staff, regarding training and service. I know that in the hotel restaurant here, which has always had problems when it comes to like service for like how long it takes our food to come and that kind of thing, that this year was particularly bad because someone had ordered a turkey wrap. It's a turkey wrap. Very simple, right? Over 40 minutes for it to get to them. No need for that. That's all I'm going to say. So let's move on to some more pleasant stuff, shall we? Let's get to the mailbag section of the show. As everyone knows, communicating with all of you is my favorite part of podcasting. I love it so much. I really do. And I get to share some of your listener mail, your listener feedback in the mailbag section of the show. From our Facebook page, listener John said a comment about episode 152. That's the one when Mike Payne came on to talk about his Hankai pulp wargaming. And he says, quote, "Great to hear the Grand Poobah speak and enlighten us all. Nice job," unquote. John, thank you, first of all, for listening to the show. I'm glad you enjoyed that episode. Mike is a fantastic guest. I loved having him on. I can't wait to have him on again. Just so much to talk about. And his attitude about gaming is really what I think makes it shine and why his games are so much fun. His events are amazing. The other bit of listener mail from Facebook is from listener Richard. It's also about episode 152 with Mike Payne. And he said, quote, "Great interview," unquote. I agree. Not because I'm the one who chatted with Mike, but Mike deserves all the credit. He's the one who had all sorts of really cool, awesome stuff to say. And it was a pleasure. It was. And if you have things that you'd like to say and share with us, please get in touch with me. We're on Facebook, on Twitter. You can email me, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. Information's in the show notes. Don't worry. And then I had been talking about a giveaway for TotalCon. I can announce that listener Kyle is the lucky winner of the TotalCon giveaway. He's received the free weekend pass and he's here at the con and I believe he's having a good time. His 5-star iTunes review titled, quote, "One of the best," unquote, says, "A real great Wargamers podcast. The host is very knowledgeable and the content is right up my alley," unquote. So Kyle, first of all, congratulations on winning the giveaway. Thank you for your very kind review. And I hope you have a fantastic time at TotalCon. To my knowledge, I haven't run across you, but if you had seen me, I hope you come up and say hi. I want to give a lot of thanks to the very kind people from TotalCon who donated the pass so that we could do this. And I want to remind everyone of a couple of things, first of all. The show couldn't exist without the very kind, generous people from the Maine Historical Wargamers Association who put on Huzzah. They are the sponsor for the show. They helped to make it possible. Huge thanks to them and also all of you who support me on Patreon. I am so appreciative of your very kind and generous support. And in particular, I want to make sure that I thank Dave and the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick and Chris Parker for your kind support. If you are a backer on Patreon or you want to become one, it's easy to do. Go to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. When you become a backer, a few cool things happen. You'll get episodes before all non-backers, you get access to exclusive behind-the-scenes content. It could be video, it could be extra audio, it could be blog posts or whatever. And then, depending on the level at which you back, you get different rewards. For as little as $1 a month, you can become a backer and get that kind of stuff. But there are more advanced things where you can get a postcard mailed to you every month. You can get, I don't have one handy to show for the live feed, but braided measuring tape. I have bumper stickers and t-shirts and all sorts of kind of stuff. Or you can get your name mentioned in every episode that you back, which is how I'm able to thank Chris Parker of Dave Battle Games and Patrick and Dave and the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group. So I just want to thank everyone there. And then I want to remind all of you that the next episode of the show is going to be coming soon. It's coming before I know it, really, actually. It is episode 154. It releases on March 14th. Great Wargaming Survey 2015 with the Jasper Ortiz. So looking forward to having Jasper on the show. Talk about the 2015. It feels like a long time ago, but the 2015 Great Wargaming Survey. They've been doing it every year. to be doing that. And I think it's going to be a blast. I hope you will all enjoy it. Don't forget the link to the show notes for this episode, wargamingrecon.com/WR153. That'll get you there and all the things that I've covered. And that's it. So as always, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. You know that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much gaming you're doing or how much time you're spending at a gaming convention like TotalCon, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Are you a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer? Then you need to tune into the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016, at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.